First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. We looked at the topic of last time of what I called, for better or worse, faith maintenance. And I don't mean that to say that, you know, we just keep faith at one level and just, the idea was that as we look at our believing and what we believe, we see those things that can hurt our believing, and we see those things which can help our believing. And so how we stay away from those things that hurt us and migrate towards those things that help us to believe. Last time, we talked about being vitally concerned. We should be vitally concerned about our ability to believe God. We should be able to believe God more and more as we go and not be affected by the what we call the enemies of believing, like doubt, worry, fear, and others that we looked at. We're not to stop at the first obstacle. We're not to blame God for our lack of believing. In response to increase our faith, Jesus Christ just told those guys, you should just believe. In that particular instance, they weren't believing at all, because he said all you need was this much and you can get what you need. Right? So we're not to care about honor from men. We saw that can hinder our believing. We should care more about what God thinks. We looked at good verses to keep in our heart and our mind, as you mentioned, Advish, when it comes to maintaining faith. Example, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We looked at that verse last time. Ask anything. Some great things to keep in our minds when we're looking to believe God's word. We saw how hard Paul worked so that they would believe, and how he thanked God for their faith, and he wanted to help them to strengthen and establish it. Because if he knew they believed God, that was it. He was good. He didn't have to worry about it because he knew that they were going to God. Right? There's got to be the goal of our lives. We have to get in the habit of going to him for everything, for sustenance, for strength, for peace, for answers, for all of it. Right? That's got to be where we go first. And we saw at the end how Abraham, instead of staggering, he gave glory to God until the result that was needed came to pass. Right? He refused to stagger, but he gave glory to God. So we'll continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today. I thought we could do this in 2. We're going to have to take 3. Couldn't get through all the verses that I wanted to get through. Verse 5, it says that in everything you are in, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right? It is really easy for our believing to stand in the wisdom of men. Right? Isn't it? Someone tells you this, you trust them, a product or whatever, the government tells you something, someone else tells you, and we seem to have no problem believing it. Right? Right? But here, the exhortation is that our believing should be based on not the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What does God's word say? And what does God's ability behind his word, what is it? I mean, is he able to do what he says? Just like Abraham believed that he was able to do that which he had said. That's what we need to believe, according to this verse. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. This is a great verse. You'll see this come up time and time again when we look at the topic of believing. In verse 2, it says, "And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith or all believing, so that I could remove mountains and have not love or the charity, I am nothing." So that means that it is possible to believe and not have love. God says that, well, if you want to do it right, then you can believe me, but do it out of love. And that is the great combination. So you're going to see this. It comes up time and time and time again where it talks about love in the context of believing. And love there is not not only love for one another, it's first and foremost, right, that God loved us, right? And secondly, that we love Him, and then we love one another. All aspects of love are to be kept in mind when we believe. Right? It's a lot easier for me to believe, you know, on your behalf or for the blessings in your life if I love you, right? If I, you know, for similar to me, if you just tolerate me, right, then it's a little bit harder, isn't it? You know, sometimes we act like, you know, that, or we cause others just to tolerate us. But the whole idea, you'll see it time and time again when it comes to believing God, love is involved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's go to chapters. Again, I'm going to just go in order here. It makes it a lot easier. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it says in verse 13. It says, watch ye, another topic that comes up many times in the context of believing, watch ye stand fast in the faith, or the right way of believing. Quit you like men, be strong, and then let all your things be done with love, right after that. You'll see it time and time again, where it talks about believing and love in the same context. So stay the course, which is, we looked at a topic once about having done all to stand. This is what it's saying, right? You stay the course. That's what Abraham did. It didn't happen for him the day after God told him he was going to have a son. But he refused to stagger. He refused to do anything but give glory to God. Right? This is what stand, be, you know, they always talk like, you want to be a man? Right? Here's good advice, right? It says, stand fast in the right way of believing. Stick to what you know to be true. That's it. What do you know to be true? The word of God that you know to be true, you stick to that. Right? These are good guidelines. The Word of God itself tells us these wonderful guidelines to keep faith. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Another great key to faith maintenance. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, a simple little verse. And it's where we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by believing, not by sight. Once again, it's very easy for us to walk by sight. We experience something. We experience, I don't know, something's hurting us, or physically or mentally or whatever. It's right there in our face, and we choose to confess that, oh, you know, this is hurting me, this is killing me, or I'm so upset, or I'm always sick, or I can confess that. We sign the receipt for it, and then we keep it to ourselves. Whereas the Word of God says, don't walk by sight, walk by believing. What does the Word of God say? That is what I need to confess. Right? It's not complicated, right? You know, you were sharing before the fellowship. It's not complicated what you were talking about. Right? To say what the Word says. And sometimes, yeah, we got to say it and say it and say it and say it, because there are some things that just don't seem to sink in. Right? Well, the Word says, quit ye like men, stand fast in the right way of believing. Right? That's what it says. And here it says, walk by faith, not by sight. What does the Word of God say? And stay with that, not with what you might be experiencing, what you think should be happening, but what does the Word of God say? And if you don't know what the Word of God says in that area, ask for help. In 2 Corinthians verse chapter 13. This is another great verse. There's so many wonderful verses on believing. Must be important, right? It says in Romans, right? The Word of God given to believe, so that you could believe, so you can live by believing. It's probably a pretty important topic in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves. I like this. Examine yourselves whether you be in the right way of believing. Faith. That's what the faith. Here, the exhortation, examine yourselves whether ye be in the right way of believing. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be as reprobates? Examine yourselves. That word examine means to try or make proof or trial or put to the test, right? essentially, you ask yourself, well, in this area, am I believing rightly? Do I believe rightly in this area? Right? Just because it's something you've always believed doesn't mean it's right. Right? We need to know in the Word of God where it says this. Right? There are certain things I know that, you know, when I first learned God's Word or learned or started fellowshipping, there are certain things that I always thought were true because I'd heard it enough times, but can find no case of it in the Word of God. Right? Those kind of things we need to root out of our mind. Right? We need to have the back, examine yourselves. Here it says, if you're in the right way of believing, do I believe rightly about that? Or is it just something that I heard, something that I've always thought is true, something that I heard on the news, God forbid, you know, or something that I heard somebody else tell me? Where does it say it in the Word? Why do I believe this particular thing? Right? That's all about, you know, it's, you know, if we all believed God perfectly, right, we wouldn't have to do that, would we? Right? But apparently, I know I do. I need to do that. I need to examine myself to see in this area, do I believe rightly? Right? Because I know sometimes I'll read the Word and I'll say, well, if I believe this, this is the result. And in certain areas, I have not seen that result yet. So therefore, I should probably take a look at what I believe. Right? It's probably worth the effort. Right? In Galatians chapter 1, I told you, we're just going to just switching, you know, page after page. There's so much. Galatians chapter 1. This is cool. It says, but they had heard only, this is talking about Paul when he had gotten born again, the people after he got born again, those he had persecuted didn't believe he was born again, right? But they had heard only that he, Paul, which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Isn't that interesting? That means that you can listen to things that will destroy your believing. Right? Isn't that what it means? Because he was preaching stuff to destroy their believing. I'm not talking about Paul saying things to us now, but if we hear information, information can destroy your believing. Right? We need to be very careful about what information we let in. Right? You know, the periodicals, newspapers, and books, most of them of our time, will not help you and me to believe God. They will not. Right? All they will help you to do is question if God is true or not. You know, like that magazine I saw this week, what was it said there? Was evolution gone wrong? Right? I think it went wrong right from day one, right? You know, here they are trying to still justify, even though they can't line it up, they're still trying to justify, where did it go wrong? Went wrong with the whole theory. In Galatians chapter 2, you know, when I say what information you take in there, be very careful, and I also mean information from other preachers, right? Biblical information. Who you listen to, what they're saying, was Paul sincere when he was trying to destroy their faith? He was the most sincerest of men, wasn't he? Head echelon, top guy in Israel, and yet what he was saying was destroying their faith, right? Or trying to destroy their faith. So be careful. In again, we won't look at it today, but next time we get together, the book of Timothy is full of cases where they were taking heed to foolish and vain questions and philosophies and all these things, all to destroy genuine believing. Right? The book is full of that. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'd like to read the working translation of that. It reads, with Christ I have been crucified, and I live no longer, but living in me is Christ. So what I now live in the flesh, I live by believing concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right. When it comes to believing, this is important. Not, not all the words important, but it is not psyching ourselves up to walk by the force. You know, you, Luke, use the force. You know, you concentrate and psych yourself up, right? That's not what believing is. Here it says, it is also not believing concerning our works. And there's other verses we didn't go to that talk about that, right? It's not faith by, of works, where I have done so much now for God that he owes me this, right? Oh, you know, crazy, right? So it's not psyching yourself up. It's not faith based on your things you've done, so now you're in good standing with God, right? Here, Paul writes, it's believing concerning who? Jesus Christ, right? That's it. All our believing must start by believing concerning Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and for me. That's it. That's the reason you can get healed. That's the reason you can be prosperous. That's the reason you can have peace. That's the reason you can have everything that God made available. It is because of Jesus Christ. Our believing must be conditioned. That's why he said, Paul says, hey, I'm dead. I'm dead. The life I live by now living in me is Christ. Right? Now what I live by what he did. That's what our believing must be conditioned by, right? Because I know, I've been there. I'm sure maybe you've done that too, where you sit down and go, I'm going to really concentrate now. I'm going to do this thing. I will get this done, right? Because I can do this. No, it's by concerning Jesus Christ. Right? So here Paul writes, you know, believing concerning Christ. I think it's a great verse. Let's go to Ephesians. In a couple of minutes, we can't possibly look at all that means, right? We've looked before at about our identification with Christ and, you know, the broken body and the shed blood and all those things that it means to believe concerning Jesus Christ. Right? Ephesians chapter 1. This reads like Romans here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, in terms of what Paul was thankful for. In 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and what? Love unto all the saints. See, believing in love many times together. Love in unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, to understand what? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He was thankful, Paul was thankful again for their faith, their believing, and then he prayed on top of that, that they would further understand the power that was available to those who were believing. Right? It's great, isn't it? Really great. So you see, a lot of what Paul wrote, you'll see it if you, you know, when you read the epistles, he was so concerned about those guys standing and continuing to believe God. So much so that God has in my revelation, right? I heard of your faith, and I wish you would, and pray that you would understand it better, right? In Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 12, talking about what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Again, we know all our believing is concerning him. Let's read verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Right? Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You know, this isn't, again, the confidence is because of what Jesus Christ did. It's again not because, oh, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to be confident, I can be confident. No, the confident, you can have confidence because of what Jesus Christ did on your behalf, right? That's the confidence. The confidence because of what he did, right? With confidence by the faith of him. See, if we are believing rightly, then when we go to God, it's not in a begging mode, right? It's not in a, oh, why don't you ever help me mode. That's not it. It's confidence. It's not irreverence. It's confidence, right? Where you go to him saying, you know what he's going to do for you, right? According to his holy word. In Ephesians chapter 3, that's where we are. 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some, this is interesting, and he gave some apostles, talking about Jesus Christ and giving the gift ministries to the church. Why did he give them? Let's read it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the right way of believing. Right? Part of the reason for the gift ministries was so that the believers would believe rightly. Right? Timothy says that genuine believing comes through right doctrine. If you hear the wrong stuff, you're obviously not going to believe the right stuff, right? So here, so God is concerned about you and me believing him, right? In Philippians chapter 1, a few more verses. Like I said, I just couldn't get through them all today. But Philippians 1:25 reads, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by me coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and this is what he wanted, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, same prayers, right? Similar prayers. He thanked God that they would strive together for the right way of believing, that they would believe rightly and stand for that. Same as Romans, same as in Ephesians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and by the way, the love which you have to all saints. See, faith and love, right? Many, many times together. He thanked God that, why? He heard of their believing in who? In Christ Jesus. Remember, it's always regarding Jesus Christ, right? That's a very important thing to understand. We can disassociate believing to be something that we do over here from Jesus Christ, but it can't be dissociated. It has to be believing concerning Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Right? Everything is based on that. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. These guys were examples of the way they believed God. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your believing to God's word is spread abroad, so that we don't have to say anything. See, they're believing, the believed Thessalonians, their believing was known all over. They said, wow, those guys really believe God, right? Paul said, I don't have to say anything. You know, just your believing was well known by everybody. that's neat. Wouldn't that be the joy of our own hearts for someone to say, wow, man, you know, that guy, that girl, she really believes God. Isn't that what you want people to say about you? I do, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is, verse 10. You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There's a great key to what we might call faith maintenance. The word of God that you believe, we have to remember that it's the word of God, not man, the word of God, right? If you know, when you read a scripture, if you just for a moment sit back and say, that is God speaking to me, right? And you read it, God is saying this to you at that very moment, right? It means a lot more, right? It tends to take on a whole different importance. If we really believe, we can just say it. Oh yeah, that's God speaking to me. Isn't that cool? Do we really believe it's God speaking to us? Right. And here in Thessalonians, Paul said, when you guys believed that it was the word of God, it worked effectually. It came to pass. Right. And we'll close in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. This is the section that I was reading when I thought about this whole faith maintenance thing. I was reading this chapter, and here you'll see Paul's great concern for the believers and their believing. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your believing. He sent Timothy there to comfort and to establish them concerning their believing. Timothy, go there and make sure that they're believing God. He didn't say go there and make sure that they're doing the fellowships in the right order and they're doing the singing in the right way and they have the right... He said, you go there and make sure they believe God. Right. So how important is it for me and you to make sure we believe God? That no man, verse 3, should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Here he is again. He said, I couldn't stand anymore. I just had to know if you were believing. So he sent to know their faith. Lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So you can be tempted out of believing God. Right. Know what it says? That's what it says. Right. So be careful. We can be tempted out of it. Oh, isn't this so much better than the Word? Isn't this great? Why do you spend Sundays listening to boring Bible when you could be doing this? Right. Why not do this? Isn't it more fun to do this? Right. Why do you even read the Bible? Why do you pray? What's wrong with you? You know, I've seen you've gotten sick before. How come your God isn't helping you? And it just goes on and on and on. Right? All the things that can tempt us out of believing. Well, remember the verses. Stand, quit ye like men. Be strong in the right way of believing. You know, standing, being persuaded that God could do what he says he's going to do, giving glory to God and staggering not, all those great things that we know in God's word, right? So Paul sent them, he wanted to know what was going on. Verse 6, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith, and by the way, love, there it is again, faith and love, brought us good tidings of your believing and love, and that we have good, that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your what? Believing. He goes, now as soon as I knew that you guys were still believing God, your believing was a great comfort to me. Right. Verse 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. In the believing concerning who? The Lord. It's funny, not funny, but neat how the word just ties together like that, isn't it? Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your believing. Man, it's just all over this chapter, isn't it? He was really, really interested to make sure they believed God. And they were great believers, and yet he said, you know what, I pray that if there's anything lacking, that I'd be able to help you with that. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Right. What a great chapter. You know, what great concern. When I say Paul, I mean God, right? Because who wrote this? Who's the author? God. See, what great concern God has for each of you and me that we would believe him, right? How important is it for us to know that we're believing him, that we're believing concerning all that God has done by way of Jesus Christ, right? It's so important, right? And you know, something that we should continue to be vitally concerned about. And we'll continue, hopefully finish up next time we're together, a little bit about faith. God bless.